From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, I'm Nugo Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo voiced aspiration of the Supreme Court conducting modern judicial reform to offer legal certainty to the public. As reported by Antaranus Agency, he noted at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday that efforts to conduct judicial reforms through the implementation of a modern justice system are imperative. He delivered the statement while attending a virtual special plenary session of the 2020 Supreme Court annual report. During the session, President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lauli, remarked, "As a bastion of justice, the Supreme Court can realize legal certainty for the public, business actors, and investors through decisions that reduce disparity in punishment." President Joko Widodo also affirmed that with better performance and reputation, the Supreme Court can deliver landmark decision by exploring the values and sense of justice in the public, so that the judiciary becomes an increasingly trusted institution. Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin praised Vice President Maruf Amin for becoming a good example for the country's elderly to receive the COVID-19 vaccine jab. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Budi Sadikin, after accompanying Vice President Amin while receiving the first vaccine shot on Wednesday, stated that Vice President Maruf Amin has set a very good example for the elderly in Indonesia. Hopefully, the seniors in Indonesia will emulate this. The minister also expressed gratitude since Vice President Amin was willing to be injected with the COVID-19 vaccine manufactured by Sinovac from China. Minister Sadikin believes that vaccinating the elderly can help achieve the target of developing herd immunity in Indonesia. Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin pointed to a downward trend in the number of daily positive confirmed cases and treatment of COVID-19 patients at hospitals since the past fortnight. As reported by Antaranus Agency in a press statement monitored online in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister Budi confirmed that the number of COVID-19 cases in Indonesia had begun to decline, and apparently the decreasing trend in daily positive cases of COVID-19 was also reflected in the decreasing trend in the care of COVID-19 patients in hospitals. He also stated that the government double-checked with the data at the hospital to ensure the decline in confirmed cases has actually occurred and the number of tests has decreased. The government can see the number of patients at the hospital has fallen consistently in 2 weeks. Minister Budi Gunadi added that the number of the patients for treatment at the hospital has also dipped in the past 2 weeks. Based on information passed on from Health Ministry Secretary General Oscar Primadi to Youth and Sport Ministry Secretary Gatot S. Dewabroto, priority athletes will be vaccinated this week. As quoted by Antaranus Agency on Wednesday this week, the Ministry of Health is ready to vaccinate the athletes proposed by the Ministry of Youth and Sports. Athletes of 17 sports disciplines, badminton, weightlifting, archery, swimming, pencaksilat, tennis, karate, taekwondo, judo, wushu, volleyball, shooting, gymnastic, chess, rowing, bowling, and surfing are categorized as the priority recipients of the COVID-19 vaccine. The Ministry of Youth and Sports has proposed 1,500 names, including of athletes, coaches, and officials from those 17 sports disciplines, as well as the National Paralympic Committee NPC, to be called a priority for the COVID-19 vaccination from the government. Let's move on to the international news. New Prime Minister of Italy, Mario Draghi, called on Italians on Wednesday to pull together to help rebuild the country following the coronavirus pandemic and promised his new government would introduce sweeping reforms to revitalize the battered economy. As reported by Reuters.com, in his maiden speech to Parliament, the former head of the European Central Bank said his broad-based administration would throw all its efforts into defeating COVID-19 while looking to leave a stronger, greener nation for future generations. Draghi further said that the day before his side had, as did the government of the immediate post-war period, the possibility, or rather the responsibility, to launch a new reconstruction ahead of mandatory confidence vote he is expected to win with ease. Days after Japan's Olympic chief was forced to resign over sexist comments, its governing party has decided to invite women to attend key meetings, as long as they do not speak. As quoted by BBC.com, the Liberal Democratic Party, LDP, proposed allowing 5 female lawmakers to observe its all-male board meetings. They cannot talk during the meeting, only submit opinions afterwards. Women in Japan have long been alienated from politics and economic participation. The country ranked 121 in a list of 153 countries on the World Economic Forum 2020 Global Gender Gap Index. 2 women currently sit on the 12-person board of the LDP, which has been in power almost continuously since 1955. The U.S. Justice Department charged 3 North Korean military intelligence officials on Wednesday in a campaign of a cyber attack to steal $1.3 billion in crypto and traditional currencies from banks and other targets. The first action against Pyongyang by President Joe Biden's administration took aim at what the department called a global campaign of criminality being waged by North Korea. The department accused the 3 of a wide-ranging hacking and malware operation to obtain funds for their government while avoiding punishing UN sanctions that have since halved its sources of income. The Justice Department did not specify exactly how much it believed the defendants have stolen altogether. Listener, that was the news.
Justice in Indonesia keeps improving in decision-making and case settlement. As the final line in judicial decision-making, the Supreme Court must be honest based on facts and data in making the final decision. Therefore, innovation in the court mainly to provide justice in the final decision for the people becomes the main goal. In a plenary session of the Supreme Court's 2020 annual report virtually, President Joko Widodo from the State Palace on Wednesday appreciated the Supreme Court's performance in case settlement. He then hoped the Supreme Court keeps doing justice reformation modernly so that the people can have legal certainty. The use of technology in case settlement is very meaningful in the current situation. A clear legal certainty will provide a sense of comfort, security, and justice for the people, businessmen, and investors. This will end the conviction disparity. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court Chief Justice Muhammad Sharifuddin in his report said the cases settled last year had become a historic record. Some 20,761 cases were submitted in 2020, and 20,562 of them had been decided, while 999 others are in completion. Muhammad Sharifuddin said it was a historic record since the Supreme Court was found. The success was supported by technology use in the process. The performance of the Supreme Court in 2020 was spectacular considering the limited number of Supreme Court judges. Modern technology and time efficiency had brought the Supreme Court their success in settling the cases. Apart from that, the more important thing is that there will not be another disparity in the Supreme Court's decision.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen takudai wo fotegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
رانج جن شوي بي تاي كو جو يفانشي سين سين قوان جوان بيندو في ين دا چوان بو ودا كو جو باوهو ني ودا كو جو باوهو وو.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forego the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Today in history starts with the event on February 18, 1932, when Japan established the Manchukuo puppet state in northeast China. Starting in 1931, the Manchukuo puppet state in northeast China was attacked and successfully controlled by the Japanese. A year later, a pro-Japanese government was established in the region independent of China with Puyi, the last Qing emperor, as both regent and emperor. The establishment of the Manchukuo or Manchuria state was aimed at making Japan safer to move freely in mainland China. However, during the Second World War, Manchuria was captured by the Soviet Union. In the following year, the Soviet Union handed over Manchuria to China.
Thank you.
Next event is that in 1943, Hitler's Minister of Propaganda, Paul Joseph Goebbels, declared a total propaganda war. As a propagandist, Goebbels was respected by many scientists. He was considered a pioneer and developer of modern propaganda techniques. The right technique resulting from his expertise was called the Big Lie Technique. Using films and shortwave radio that were able to reach different parts of the world, he spread the Nazi doctrines. Even on February 18, 1943, he declared the total propaganda war to raise the morale of the German army on the battlefield. Goebbels became the third most popular person in Germany after the Führer, Hitler, and Martin Bormann. The last event is that in 2005, Metro TV journalists were held hostage in Iraq. Two Metro TV journalists, Mutia Hafid and cameraman Budianto, while on duty, were kidnapped and held hostage on February 18, 2005, by a group of armed men in Iraq. Metro TV's last contact with Mutia was on February 15, 3 days earlier. After negotiating with the hostage takers with the help of local security, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Metro TV, Mutia Hafid and Budianto were finally released on February 31, 2005. Listener, that was Today in History.
Kuasaku menahan kelakuanku.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Government of Indonesia is committed to managing the sustainable environment which is integrated with economic growth through mining activities. The harmonization is included in the mineral and coal policy document. This document is made to benefit as much as possible all Indonesian people in a just, sustainable and eco-friendly way. That was stated by Mineral and Coal Director General of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Ridwan Jamaluddin, in a press release on the ministry's website last Friday. Ridwan remarked that the concept of sustainable environment management and community development in the mineral and coal mining aims to mitigate the environmental quality degradation against the water, soil, air and biodiversity, which can disturb the ecological balance. Meanwhile, Director of Mineral and Coal Revenue Muhammad Wahfid said that the implementation of mining environment management system must begin from exploration until the post-mining. This policy must be systematic and integrated while prioritizing law enforcement. Business people must perform environmental impact identification for the basis to decide the environmental parameter during the mining activities. This identification can be a reference in calculating the environmental cost. Wafik further stated that the government's real strategy in implementing the policy includes efficiency in resource use, such as water and energy. There would also be material recycle, biodiversity protection, greenhouse gas emission reduction, as well as management of waste and residual processing results. Feasibility study and environment documents are made comprehensively without contradicting the existing principles. Environmental risk assessment and management are integrated into the mining environment management system. The assessment also accommodates all risks in the environment parameter and mitigation, as well as becomes a reference for mining and ore investment continuity. The mineral and coal mining activity and environmental management also refers to the environment document issued by environment-related agencies. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Ragu di matamu, haruskah aku berikrar tuh yang ke seribu kali aku cinta padamu. Aku ulangi dari
Well, listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
On February 5th, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno took a culinary tour while visiting Tanjung Layang Special Economic Zone in Bangka Belitung Island. There, Minister Sandiaga Uno enjoyed eating nasi gemuk with Governor of Bangka Belitung Island, Erzaldi Rosman, Regent of Belitung Sahani Saleh, and Deputy Regent of Belitung Ishak Mayrobi. Minister Sandiaga Uno said that the local dish, nasi gemuk, is very delicious dish that can attract tourists when visiting Bangka Belitung Island. Nasi gemuk is a culinary specialty of the people of Bangka Belitung, Jambi and South Sumatra. The origin of the name rice itself is not known exactly. However, many people cite the reason because the rice is sticky and it uses a large amount of coconut milk. The rice has been popular since the 1970s. Nasi gemuk is rice cooked with coconut milk and pandan leaves. When eaten, this dish feels so tasty. The use of coconut milk is the key to the savory taste of nasi gemuk. Apart from the coconut milk, there are also various other spices when processing rice, such as bay leaves, lemongrass and lime leaves. To make it even more delicious, nasi gemuk is also given finely ground spices, including mixtures of shallots, garlic, pepper, coriander, and cumin. Nasi gemuk is usually enjoyed as a breakfast menu. When eaten, this rice is enjoyed with complimentary side dishes that become the main characteristics, including sliced omelette, boiled egg, cucumber, fried onions, chili sauce, and crackers. Chicken or beef curry, peanuts and fried anchovies are also often added to nasi gemuk. The price is relatively affordable. Nasi gemuk is sold 8,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah per serving.
Di dompet tak ada duit, teman-teman pelit.
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, Indonesia is a country rich with spices and herbs, has a beverage formula that can help diabetics lower blood sugar levels in the body. Professor of IPB University of the Faculty of Agricultural Technology, C. Hani Wijaya has produced an innovation in the form of glucodia drink, which serves to help diabetics lower blood sugar levels. Glucodia drink is a spice and herbs based functional drink formula to treat diabetes. The largest composition comes from orthosiphon aristatus. The orthosiphon aristatus is a plant species in the family of Lamiaceae labiatae. Based on research, this drink has high antioxidants that reach 600 to 700 ppm or parts per million, with an anti-hyperglycemic activity of 65.83%. The extracts of orthosiphons aristatus, which is the main composition of glucodia drink, has properties at certain doses, and it is proven to reduce blood sugar levels and increase high density lipoproteins, or HDL, commonly known as good cholesterol, in the blood of experimental rats, lowering blood pressure and decreasing the size of the kidney stones. Now, glucodia drink is being developed by PT Soho and IPB University. Minister of Research and Technology, Head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Professor Bambang P. Sumantri Brojonegoro, said that this cooperation step for glucodia drink products is an example that the downstreaming of research products is commercialization. Hopefully, this good synergy will continue to produce useful products for the community. Meanwhile, Rector of IPB University, Professor Arif Satria, said that this collaboration proves that the private sectors and universities can continue to collaborate amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Every little front stakeholders must take a leap to be able to produce something new, because the strength of the nation is seen from innovation. That was Miss Lenny.
Saat ku langkahkan kaki.
mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyō shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Poppy Mercury achieved her heyday in the 90s. Unfortunately, this woman who was born with the name Poppy Yusvidawati died on August 28, 1995 at the age of 21 years old. Due to the complication from her illness. Since her career as a singer, she has produced several hit songs, one of which is Hati Siapa Tak Luka. The song, which was created by Wahyu WHL, is included in Poppy's last album, which was released in 1995 before she died. Listener, here is Poppy Mercury with Hati Siapa Tak Luka.
Cheers!
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Yang akan bicara
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.